This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, I'm Rekha Sharma, and I played Landry on Star Trek Discovery. You are listening to The Edge on Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of The Edge, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to Star Trek Discovery. I'm your host, Patrick Devlin, and joined with me, as always, is the lovely Amy Nelson. Amy, how are you?
Well, hello. It's been a while since we've been on mic, so good to be here.
Yeah, it's been too long, but really there was nothing that we really wanted to talk about.
Now, we had the Short Treks Q&A, and we had the New York Comic-Con panel, and then work schedules got in the way, and then we got another Short Trek, so we're like, listen, let's get on mic, we're going to talk about the Short Treks, and listeners, we will get to the New York Comic-Con panel, because I have some notes on that I want to share with everyone, in case they hadn't had a chance to watch it.
Yeah, so the sad part about that is I'm in New York and didn't watch it yet. And should have been there, to be honest with you, but I wasn't.
I know. Why?
I've never been to a New York Comic Con.
Really?
Yeah, it always... So, sadly, like the 2 years that my whole family was going to go, actually, we were on a cruise the same weekend. So, that didn't work out. And then it's such a pain to get tickets for this thing now. I don't even want to go. I loathe the idea of, like, signing up a year in advance to get on a list, to be on another list, to be on a third list, and then it's such a nightmare.
Oh, I didn't know it was such a big deal.
A couple years ago, it got really bad. You used to just go to the comic stores. Midtown Comics was one of them. They have a couple locations in Manhattan, and you could buy tickets. And usually, if you waited till after the first day, it was hard to get anything good. Like, you'd get the Sunday or the Thursday, which is kind of worthless for the price. So kids are not discounted. They're full price tickets Friday and Saturday. And so you would want to go to, you could buy individual tickets or a group ticket for the whole weekend, you know, Thursday on. And it was usually more cost effective, even if you weren't going Thursday, to just buy the whole group.
Get the whole.
Well, now you can't. Like, they changed how that works. You can only buy individual days. You got to do it online. You have to be pre-registered to pre-certified. There's like four steps, and I always just like lose out on one of them because I just don't care enough.
Yeah.
They're not about comics anymore.
No.
So Comic-Con is a stupid name for them. I like them more, and I know I'm a Star Trek fan, so I should love the fact that Star Trek is there. However, I liked them when they were comic conventions before they became these comic cons that they are now. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's lost all of that because even the comic book stuff is MCU. It's not the comic books, it's the comic book movies.
Right, right.
So, and once Walking Dead took over, I didn't want to go anymore because that show was awful.
Well, I hadn't seen that, so, but there was a definite large Star Trek presence there this year, which I don't think they had been previous years.
I don't think it was too big, but there was always Star Trek fans that went there, and you could always...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, of course, yeah. But they had a trailer release, you know, so...
Yeah, and they also had, they have, like, people dressed up in costumes. Yeah. So I work in that area during Comic-Con, so that Thursday and Friday was nuts.
Oh, I bet.
So, which is really all I care about, too, with the Comic-Cons, right? So I get to see it anyway, so why pay the money?
Nice.
So we're not here to talk about the fact that I just loathe the Javits Center for Comic-Con, which is a place I work and make money, so I shouldn't say that. But we are here to talk about the Short Treks, right?
Yes.
So I guess we'll just do them in order. That makes the most sense. And right. What was your initial impressions of Q&A?
Q&A. I was very surprised at the end. I was smiling. And I was like, huh, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I knew the character, so I liked that aspect about it. There was a couple questions I had, but overall, I thought it was cute, fun, enjoyable, self-contained. You know, we learned more about their characters. What were your initial thoughts?
My very initial thoughts was, oh man, is this hokey? Yes. When it first ended, like, because you get the whole first, well, okay, let me run through it, because my thoughts actually changed throughout this little short treks, because at first we see number one acting very much like the Spock we know, but Spock not acting like this, and then Spock started acting like the Spock we know, you know, the original series Spock, with all the questions and stuff, and then we get this song and dance routine, well, not really a dance, but we get, you know, the song routine at the end, and I was like, oh man, this is kind of hokey, but then I watched it again, not too long after, and by not too long, I mean like 15 minutes later, like not, right. Like almost immediately, and I enjoyed it more watching it through the second time, because I wasn't so focused on what the questions were, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I focused very heavily on what he was asking, and that really wasn't the point of the short track.
Right.
And so I think it kind of ruined my viewing the first time, trying to piece together the questions and why they matter. Whereas the second time, now that I knew the whole story and I, you know, I didn't care so much about the individual questions, except for the three things about Pike. I thought that was a question that was kind of important, because we hear, you know, number one's opinion of Pike. And so then I really enjoyed it, because like you said, it's fun. I just thought it was fun at the end. But I also think it's bigger than just fun, because we actually learn why Spock goes from, I mean, it happens actually before the cage, but in the cage he's laughing and then he's not later on. So to me, that says that he felt comfortable enough with Pike and number one to be himself, but he takes number one's advice to hide it, because she's hiding who she really is, which doesn't really make sense. I mean, so she likes to sing, Data sings. But for the purposes of the short treks, I guess it's fun.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting that you bring up, you know, when Spock asked what are the three, you know, qualities about Pike. And I wrote them down, because I was like, that is, number one, a very good question to ask, especially as a newbie. Like, who's my boss? What do I need to know? And then it also reveals what type of person she is, how observant and, you know, how she works under him. And she is like, first one is his capacity to listen and his willingness to change his mind and to like hear someone out. So that is an amazing quality. Of course, we all know we love Pike. He's written that way. And then number two is that he views Force as a failure. And I love that, because it reminds me of Picard and his diplomacy and stuff like that. And then his number three is that he is very unsentimental, except when it comes to horses. And I myself have been viewed as unsentimental. And so it's like, oh, I could totally relate to that. So I really liked those qualities about Pike. So again, he was barely in the episode, and we're learning more about Pike.
Yeah, I just don't necessarily agree with the third one.
That he's unsentimental?
Except for with horses. I don't buy it, because when we first are introduced to him in this series, we end up with him being fairly sentimental about religion, in my opinion.
In the one episode, yeah.
Okay, but they screwed that all up, and they continue to do so now. But I don't take him as unsentimental. I just don't agree with that one part of the statement. It doesn't mean that I'm wrong or that the writers are wrong. People view different people different ways. So it could just be that around number one, he's never been sentimental or whatever, or that I'm just crazy. But either way, I mean, whatever. I just don't agree with that one part. The other two I like a lot. And I like the fact that they point out that not only does he see Force as a failure, but he's actually also the one with the most wins in battle.
Oh, right.
You know, so even because she says even though he has the best record, or so she words it in some way that basically he's won more battles than anybody else, he sees that as a failure.
Right.
Which to me also says, and this is like a baseball analogy, you just kind of shake it off and move on to the next pitch. He can do that. He can just go, you know what, screwed it up, had a fight, all right, moving on, got to move on. He can just turn the page and keep going.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So one of the things that I just questioned, and maybe you can help me. So he beams on, he's an ensign, correct?
Yes.
He's not anything higher, just an ensign. And she, number one, is telling him to ask all these questions to everyone. And I'm like, okay, I've seen ensigns on ships and they're not going around asking everyone questions. And I was like, that was my one issue. I was like, why would she tell him to do that? Because then he's just going to be an annoyance to everyone. And it's going to sort of almost set him up for failure. And it's like, dude, why are you asking me all these questions? I have to get my work done. And I just didn't like the way that she instructed or commanded him to, well, you need to ask everyone questions and that's your job.
Yeah, like, I don't.
Science officer, I'm sure there's other jobs than that.
Yeah, it's, she blames it on the fact that he is a science officer, so he should be asking questions, which I kind of understand. And in the hierarchy of Starfleet, you know, ensign is not the low man on the totem pole. It's the low man on the officer totem pole. Right. So there are plenty of people below him that he could ask any questions he wanted, and they'd have to just deal with it. But that's not how she makes it out. She makes it out as you should be asking everybody questions till you're an annoyance. Yeah. Then he does annoy her, and she's like, oh, it's just a heavy question. Like, nah, you were annoyed. Don't lie. It's fine. You were annoyed. But we see this all the time though in Star Trek that they don't stick to a strict adherence of military protocol. I mean, even though they're supposed to be, realistically, they're supposed to be a military organization. I know we keep trying to claim that they're paramilitary. They're not. They're a military organization. They might not always fight wars, but militaries don't always fight wars either. The U.S. military, the Navy, will bring aid to places. They'll also, they've designed things like GPS systems that we now use in everyday life with our phones. So that is what they are. But they've always shown breakdowns of those kind of standards. So I guess in this, I can forgive it, is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
A long way. Well, and way.
When they get, you know, at first the turbo lift breaks down. And
wait, well, before you say that, I'm sorry. I have to say this because it drives me crazy the way they show turbo lifts in this show.
Okay, let's talk about, because I'm still on the questioning part. We'll come back to that. Let's circle around that. See what I did there?
That's awful. Go ahead.
So, but yeah, going along with him asking questions, but when they first get trapped in the turbo lift, and she's like, this is going to take a while. And then I absolutely love it. She just doesn't waste any time. Well, we're going to be here a while, so continue with the questions. I love that because I would do totally something like that. It's like, okay, we're just not going to sit here and do nothing. Yes, we have both observed that no one talks in the elevator. That was funny. But that, you know, she's going to use the time, might as well, you know, be productive. And I love, love, love that about her character.
I guess that's, I don't know. No, I like that part. I'm actually just talking about the observing no one talking in elevators. I don't observe that as a fact.
You don't?
No. Oh my gosh.
It's like,
I'm in elevators all the time and there's always people talking. Always. If you want to strangle them sometimes, they won't stop. But I've never.
This must be New York.
Maybe, but we have probably the most elevators in the country, right? Outside of LA, maybe, you know, and but we don't, we talk all the time in elevators. It's, people get on and get off and their conversation doesn't even break, and you'll get on and there's someone talking and someone will talk to you, and especially on construction sites where we use the elevators, we're constantly talking.
Well, the only time that I observe people talking in elevators here in Las Vegas is when they are drunk. So well,
that happens a lot too,
comical.
I would assume.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, so but besides that fact, I mean, I guess it's probably true most places because most people are using elevators outside of New York, most people are not using elevators for homes, right?
Right.
If you had to figure the how many people step on an elevator every day, how many of them are just using it for work because they're in tall buildings for work, they're probably not talking a lot because they're just trying to get to work and be done with whatever they're doing at the moment. So aside from that, I do like the fact that she does say, all right, let's keep it going. But also, right before that, she got annoyed and like hung up the phone on that girl.
Oh, and did she
did that a few times.
Did she have a Scottish accent? I was like, we are just following through with the all engineers are going to be Scottish.
Yep, that's a stereotype we're not getting over.
Oh my gosh, that was funny. It made me chuckle.
So, but she definitely got annoyed with her more than once. So I did enjoy that. Although and that's the line of questioning there after the one with Pike, where it's like they're doing cutscenes, so you're not really getting full questions and answers, where me wasting my time trying to figure out what they're talking about was wasting my time.
Yeah, because it was definitely choppy. But I think just to show the diversity of his questions, which I loved, and it made me think like, okay, could I continuously bombard with that variety of questions, going from food replicators to quantum physics to what's your favorite kind of food, or do you like eggplant, or
right. Right, because when it was like, too heavy, he asked, do you like eggplant?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the heavy question was now anymore, but
Something quantum physics.
Yeah, I don't remember. But well, and then he calls her out, too, because, by the way, the food replicator uses her method.
I know, and she blows that off. I love that. Yes, so she's very humble as well, and it's the Una Matrix. I thought that was really cute, and like she improves on systems, you know, and now the food is better tasting and more nutritious, and so yeah, that's the Una Matrix.
But he shouldn't know that.
Well, no, she told him.
Didn't she say just call me number one?
Like, do you use system A or system B? I'm sorry.
No, I know. He shouldn't know her name.
And then she. What?
He gets on, says, what's your name? She goes, call me number one.
Yeah.
He doesn't know her name's Nona.
Well, I know. So what's your point?
So how does he know that's her name?
He knows.
No, he doesn't. The first question he asks her is, what's your name? And she says, call me number one.
I think it's revealed.
Not in that episode. And it's his first 5 minutes on the ship.
No, they talk about her name.
When?
During this whole Unimatrix thing.
Yeah. All it said is she says the name of it, and he says, that's your name. Outside of that, she never says, my name is.
Right. No, and then says she her never name. Says that. Yeah.
Right. So he wouldn't know her name.
It's in Starfleet records, and he does.
Then why would he ask her name to start when he gets on board?
Well, I think in part because you want to know how to address them. Like when my
we're reaching
students
here.
Come in,
we're reaching here.
Okay, I know. But when my students come in and it's, you know, their name is Christopher, and I'm like, well, what's your name? Do you want me to call you Christopher?
But that's different than what's your name. Because you probably say, because you're just trying to make your argument now against me, but you probably say,
I know.
How do you want to be referred to, or how do you want to be called? I don't have that problem. I don't ever remember any of my students' names at all. I don't even try.
Every year it's 200 new students.
No, I don't even try.
I'm asking them for 9 weeks, what's your name?
I just had a kid for an entire semester, then worked the entire summer with him. And at the end, I was like, I think it's Connor. And he's like, you don't know his name? I'm like, dude, I don't even know your name. And I've been working with you for 4 months. He's like, I'm Rob. I went, oh, you're Rob? Okay.
Oh my gosh. Patrick.
Terrible with names, which is why it sticks out that he never actually found her name to me, because it's something that I would do, try and get your name, because I probably not remember it.
Yeah.
But he remembers it without even being told.
I still remember because, like, you're online, like, I knew you online first, and it's you know, Patrick Devlin, and then to find out that you are called Pat, and I was like, whoa, because like I learned you as Patrick.
Yeah,
so that's why I still refer to you. Sometimes I'll call you Pat, but it just feels weird. Because
no, most of the time, yeah, you say Patrick, which you're one of the few.
I know. Well,
my wife made my profile before we were married, and I hate being Patrick.
Well, I think I told you this. My ex name was Pat, and so it has a very bad connotation.
Right. So great. Horrible. Just a
what's
horrible
in
person.
A name?
Oh. So, but anyway, that doesn't make or break the episode. It's just funny that he knew her name and he didn't know her name, actually.
It got it. Yeah.
And it just made its way through editing. Look, we're only 20 minutes into talking. I have to find something to talk about. Yeah. So there it is.
So I did like sort of the underlying themes in this and how they were talking about how strength of Starfleet is enriched by diversity and for you to be yourself, you know, when they were talking about you got to keep your freaky to yourself. And I do completely agree, especially in, you know, powers of control or, you know, when you are not subordinate, when you are
authoritative.
Yeah.
Authoritative.
In the position of authority.
Role. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to really do consider how people perceive you because you don't want to lose any of that authority with them because they perceive you as weak or stupid, and especially in a Starfleet capacity. But you still also have to walk that line of being yourself because Starfleet does, you know, embrace the diversity. So I found that interesting. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, first off, I found it really weird when she said you're freaky. I didn't feel like that was delivered. I don't know. It was weird.
It was.
The way she said it, everything really about weird. It was like, that seemed way more sexual than she meant it. Like, it was just really weird. She got really close, said it really low. It was odd.
Yeah.
To me.
Did you think that there was the flirting going on?
No, I didn't really. No, I mean, maybe at the end you could see. I didn't see that, but I could see where people would see that. But it just was weird, awkward feeling. And maybe that's what they were going for. So if they were, congratulations. It was awkward. But I did find it odd. Like, in general, just to tell someone, I didn't grow up with TOS, so I grew up with Next Generation where the android sang, you know, right, all the time and listened to Beethoven. So this idea that, like, you have to hide that about yourself was just a little weird to me in general because smiling shouldn't keep you from getting a command position,
mm-hmm,
even if you're Vulcan, and he's not 100% Vulcan, but even if he was, that shouldn't affect that. However, I did like the fact that he claimed he didn't want a command position. She called him on that immediately.
Uh-huh.
She's like, nobody sits for 2 years of whatever that really boring class was and isn't looking for command. So, I mean, I like that aspect of that whole scene.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. So did you, in your wildest dreams, expect her to break out in song?
No, not even close. When she said, I understand too, I was like, I don't even know where this is going now. Like, this is going to get weird. And it did. In a good way, but it got weird. And she was so good at it.
I know.
Like, the facial expressions and everything, like, it really did look more like a Broadway play than a Star Trek show. You know what I mean?
Did you see the little 1 minute extra clip on the app?
No.
So on CBS, and so it's Rebecca Romijn, and she's talking about how the writers sent her a text and said, do you have any, you know, interesting talents, you know, that you do? And she's like, I didn't know what they were talking about. And so I said, well, I play badminton and I sing Sullivan, you know, those guys.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah. And then they come to the table reading and there's Modern Major General song. And she's like, I love that. I've been singing that. She's like, I didn't even have to practice hardly because she's been singing it since she was a teenager. She was in, you know, some group that did the Sullivan songs and stuff like that. And so, yeah, you knew that this was not her first go around.
Right, right. No, she definitely pulled it off perfectly. And then for her to be kind of shy about it afterwards, And then for the, you know, the pause, the whole thing was directed and acted really well. The pause, and then he starts kind of low and not singing, and then they sing together.
Yes.
And then they kind of yell in each other's face for the last few lines and, or words. And then I found it really interesting when the person on top, the person who, rappels down to them is like, I thought I heard laughing in there.
Yes.
Oh, man. But
I missed a moment. So yeah, let's talk about the stupid elevator turbo lift. It doesn't even make sense. Someone's rappelling down amidst all these containers flying by this roller coaster.
It's not a straight shaft.
And she's not even protected. Like, and then she's going to be pulled up into where?
Okay, so
into the rungs of a roller coaster. How is that being safe?
So yeah, thank you. Look, it drives me crazy, and people keep telling me I'm crazy, but I'm not.
No,
you can't have elevators that just go in multi directions on single tracks. That doesn't work. This is not like Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory where the elevator like flies around and left. That doesn't make sense either. But at least they don't show us stupid tracks, right? Now here's the other problem. I don't care that we're in space. Everyone keeps telling me that, oh, well, we're in space, so you know, you have tons of room. Yes. No. But you still have only a limited amount of room on a ship. Yep. You're not going to waste that room, that valuable space, with an elevator.
No, you are not.
It's likely that many of these ships wouldn't even have elevators, that they'd make you walk everywhere because they're not going to use the space. But let's forget that for a second. They definitely wouldn't have one where you could pan out 80 feet away and watch an elevator going through loops.
Nope.
It's absurd. And can we stop in movies? It's not a Star Trek thing. I'm not blaming Star Trek. Can we stop the, I'm going to grab something and I'm going to get sucked back up holding my arm?
I know. I sort of laughed at that too. And I'm like, she's only using one arm. Okay, whatever.
Right now, I get it. She's not a very heavy person, but it doesn't matter. All the pressure's on your shoulder.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It just doesn't work. You tear something. That's why we have full body harnesses to do things like this, because that doesn't work. And I get it. It's like an action hero scene, but it's 2019. Can we move on from this scene now? I mean, we're on like the flagship of Starfleet, and they don't have a full body harness. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when she was being lifted out by the arm, it really sounded like the music from 09. And beyond.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yay, because I love that music. So,
yeah.
It's like, well, wait, we're crossing streams. That's the Kelvin timeline, but you know.
Yeah, but it was good. I liked it.
Oh, I loved it.
I loved the last scene when Spock comes onto the bridge and Pike asks him if he's ever seen whatever they were talking about, because that was her first mission. Remember, he asked her, have you ever seen a double something, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And the way the two of them, because that's where I could see them flirting, like people thinking they were flirting, the way they were kind of looking at each other, and they kind of like were like little school kids giggling. Yeah. Right. But at the end, they're kind of doing it again where she's acting like she doesn't know him, and she's like, oh, where's my...
I know. That was way weird.
Ensign Spock. Well, it was over... I don't know.
It was too overt. It was.
Yeah. And here's the problem. Everybody would know she was stuck in a turbo lift with him.
Yeah, exactly.
So you doing that actually makes it look weirder to everybody else.
Exactly, yes.
But it was cute.
Their little knowing glance, you know, when Pike asks, do Vulcans, you know, feel awe? And he's like, yes, we do. We just don't show it. And then they just, the tiniest of glances. And I thought, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. So overall, I enjoyed this particular, like I said, the little stupid things like the turbo lift, being ridiculous, but I thought it was good, and like you said, it was self-contained, but it did, if you want, you can see a much broader universe with it.
Yes.
So
yep, I liked it too.
So what were your initial thoughts on the trouble with Edward?
Oh my gosh, it was so cute, absolutely cute, and a fun little origin story for Tribbles. And who knew that I needed to see this? Yes, we needed to see it. Don't just hush.
So, did you see the after credits cookie.
Yes, and how cute was that? Oh my gosh, and I about threw up in my mouth when the kids put the spoon of
tribble. And that's what you think is cute?
Like, oh, that was gross, but it was, yeah, it was cute. Well, because it's like scallops, and I love scallops. Just remove their fur, and it's a bunch of protein. I mean, the guy definitely was awkward and had command issues and, you know. But again, as I go back to TNG, you know, seeing Barkley and that oddity, it's nice seeing that, yes, we have people like that in Starfleet. And we, again, embrace their diversity.
I'm just going to be quiet for the next 6 minutes so you can talk so we don't have to get killed for this podcast.
Oh my
God. It was awful.
No way.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's pretend for a second that I care about canon, right? We're not even supposed to know these things exist and we created them to be this way. That's number one. Okay. You'd think that'd be in a record somewhere. Okay. But whatever. We're going to pretend that doesn't exist because we've seen the discovery. We have tribbles all of a sudden. And they're not mass producing. So they had basically what the writers felt was they needed to give us a reason why they're not mass producing on Discovery, but they do on TOS and every other time we've seen them, right? So they come up with this stupid story. And it's no, awful. No, wait,
now you're ruining it for me.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's what happened.
Because, yeah, on Discovery with Lorca, he had the tribble and it was in his den of doom. And how would he know that? Yeah. Now it's not making sense because the tribble wouldn't be dangerous until now, which was after Lorca. Okay.
Yep.
Thanks for ruining it.
It was terrible.
Okay. Continue.
No, anything more I say is going to get me yelled at by somebody. See, the biggest problem with me doing this podcast is, if I bash this thing like I believe, I'll get killed by the people who love everything that happens. And if I even remotely try and say a nice thing about this, after I just destroyed it 5 seconds ago, the people who hate it are going to email me hate mail. So I can't even win at this point. It was horrible. I don't think I could redeem. I don't care. There's a new captain. It's not a new captain we'll ever see again. So
no. And that was one thing that was weird. Again, I need to watch it again because what was her rank before she was like a science person.
Yeah, but I mean, he was walking her to go take her command. So, okay, great. Everyone went nuts about Captain Pike. He was in it for like 3 seconds saying goodbye. So that doesn't save the episode for me.
I just have an issue. Like she was, it seemed just working in the science team. And then she was promoted to captain, which I thought was a really big jump for me. Like,
well, they fixed that at the end because she completely failed and now no longer has command of anything.
Well, yeah, because the tribbles took over. But
right.
So that and was got a to weird Klingon jump space for now. Me. And I liked seeing. And then again, it was OK, so this is a science vessel, but it seemed like everyone was really, really, really young. And I'm like, where's your experience? Where's the
Edward sage is probably the sound oldest.
Advice? Yeah, he's the oldest lunatic. And he's the crazy one and not making sense and not thinking things through and being vindictive. And oh, well, the captain does that. I'm going to do this and let's see what happens there.
Well, that's about the only part of the story that makes sense. If he's been in Starfleet 40 years longer than her, his attitude is, I don't have to listen to her.
Yeah.
You know, not all people are like that, but some people are like that. And I can see with his attitude and his lunacy that that could be an absolutely justifiable reason why this happened. However, it's ridiculous. And the way that they show it, when poom, 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 pop, oh, man.
Yeah, it was
popcorn. Oh, they're born pregnant. Oh, come on.
I thought it was cute. And I really liked about Edward when we very first meet him and he can't get his iPad working or whatever they call it.
Yeah, yeah. We can call it an iPad.
Yeah. And he's like, it's broken. It's broken. And then the lady reaches over and like pushes a button and he's like, thanks for fixing it. I mean, he is going to die on that hill. He was right. It was broken and she fixed it. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, look, I thought, sadly, that's like the last part I thought was funny. And then it just went downhill from there because I thought we were going to have a funny episode. And instead we had what we had.
It was funny. Okay, you had to laugh when they got out their little rifles and they're shooting them one by one. I'm like, please, that made me laugh. And I really hope that they didn't mean for that to be serious, because if they did, they were dead wrong. That was hilarious that they're all, it's like little target practice and they're just shooting them. It's like fish in a barrel, you know, and they're, I thought that was funny.
I'm
hoping it was intentionally funny that way.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't. But whatever. It was.
Because I'm like, you wouldn't seriously go and attack that many small creatures with these huge rifles.
You're absolutely right. And at that point, I think I was just mentally done with this episode. Oh. And I just said, come on. Really?
That was funny.
And then at the end, we get that they took out an entire planet or something. And then they get in the Klingon planet space.
That they were there to save. Again, that was funny.
It's funny that there was mass murder.
I think you're just looking at this wrong.
It was awful. It just was. It was so funny. Bad. So I tried. I was talking to someone else after Q&A. I'll just put it out there. Mark knows who he is. I was talking to Mark, who didn't like Q&A, right? And I said, well, I look at most of these as what-if comic books, right? Like, they're not really happening. Because if they're not really happening, they can't really screw up canon, right? And knowing that a triple episode was coming, I was like, I'm going to look at this as a what-if episode.
Okay.
It still didn't make it okay for me. If that doesn't work, I can't see what will for me. Because if you take the what-if, then you can forget about the Tribble being with Lorca, and you can forget about the Tribbles in TOS. You can just go, what if some lunatic made them this way? Whee! And it still went flat for me.
Okay. I like the what if scenario, because then that sort of fixes the whole Lorca Tribble thing for me. But I think it was fun how they tried to put it back into canon, and it's like, well, now they're in this planet and somehow the Klingons have them. And then, you know, that brings to mind all of the hatred that Klingons have for Tribbles. And I just thought it was really fun.
Okay. But then how come, whatever. Okay.
And you had to laugh again. I really hope it was intentionally funny. But the lady, I guess she was in a turbo lift, like being drowned by Tribbles and her scream of horror, like that was hilarious. Did you not laugh at that part?
I know they can't hear me shaking my head, but I don't want to talk anymore. I don't have anything good to say.
I just thought that was, you know, some really dark, wicked humor. Maybe I just watched it with too much humor in mind.
That's fine. And maybe it was
supposed to be like scary and bad.
I don't think so. I think it was meant to be how you took it, which is fine. Good. And it's fine that it works for you. And it worked for a lot of people. It didn't work for me. Another point. Someone just messaged me this, not even knowing we're doing a podcast on this right now. But on Voyager, why did Jadzia have to hide her spots? There was a reason that Tribbles would attack her or some nonsense, right?
Oh, I do not know anything. Yeah,
so she had to hide her spots from the Tribbles in Tribbles and Trials and Tribulations. But in this episode, in this short trek, there's a Trill in plain sight on the Cabot.
Are you sure that's why? I just thought that because they are going back that they didn't have no Trills, and so that would be a giveaway.
Maybe. I'll have to look into it. It's a very reliable source that just messaged me.
Huh.
The exact sentence is, so why did Jadzia have to hide her spots in Trials and Tribulations if there is a Trill on the Cabot in plain sight in The Trouble with Edward? They don't even know. This person doesn't even know we're podcasting right now. They just happen to come up with this and send it to me. I don't want to give their name because I don't want to. Just send me the hate mail. It's all right.
Well, but Tribbles. So my point
is, are we staying in canon or are we not staying in canon?
Okay.
I think that's part of my problem, too. pick if it's a what if or if it's canon, but then you got to kind of follow it. Like, yeah. Great, we put it in. Oh, we put it into Klingons and why they hate them. Okay, but, you know, the Enterprise doesn't know Tribbles exist. It seems to me that people in general are relying way too heavily on this. We'll just make everything top secret, so that's why it all makes sense now. And if that works for you, great. It doesn't work for me. It just doesn't, because at some point, you can't keep making everything a secret. Then no one would know what existed before.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'm just got on a message board, and it was to hide the fact that she wasn't human. It didn't say anything about Tribbles.
I'll have to go watch the episode. That's just something that was pointed out to me. And there is a Trill on that episode. But the point is, it all still stinks to me.
Alrighty. The trouble with Patrick.
Yeah, the trouble is they keep writing these kind of episodes. I don't want to come on here and complain. It's not what I like doing in life.
Some might disagree.
They might, but they'd be wrong. It's not my fault it's being written this way.
Oh, well, I guess there's nothing I can say, because I've pointed out all the funny things and just how lighthearted and humorous that it was. Now, please, I hope. Well, I'm not even going to hope, because if you didn't like that, these two episodes, Q&A and The Trouble with Edward, really got me excited about the type of humor that we might get to see in Lower Decks.
Okay, but see, now I agree, but that's going to be written in a completely different perspective.
Yeah,
we're not going to have the invention of Tribbles years before they're supposed to happen. Well, then they'll be wrong.
Well, it will be in the 24th century, so.
You know, I don't know. I'm looking forward to that show. And I think, again, part of the problem here is, you go into watching these, and I didn't really necessarily think comedy when I put them on.
Mm.
So that might be part of the problem.
But I mean, the name Trouble with Edward, you know that's going to be on the lighter
right,
side.
But I don't know. I did find it funny, so whatever. I did enjoy Q&A.
Yeah.
And then I even, you know, like I said, when I first watched Q&A, I didn't really like it a lot. I was kind of about it. And then I watched it again and realized I kind of paid attention to the wrong things. So I tried to do that with Trouble with Edward, and I didn't like it even more. So
maybe you were paying attention to the wrong things.
Twice. I don't think so.
Well,
I think it was just bad.
Now I told you how funny it is. Go back a third time.
If you have to be explained every joke, the joke's probably not that funny.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. It just wasn't my thing.
No, I really liked them, again, because I just love these little episodic self-contained stories. And they both were exactly that. There wasn't, you know, I sort of felt like last season's Short Treks, you know, especially The Brightest Star, you know, that was feeding into a big storyline arc, right?
Right.
And we knew that because it was with Saru and his, you know, everything. These, I think, take them or leave them, because they're not going to obviously impact season 3 of Discovery.
Oh, no.
And they're not.
If they end up on a planet with Tribbles at some point, I'm going to scream.
Yeah.
Just telling you right
now.
They won't.
And they're not continuing the story of season 1 or season 2 of Discovery. They're just little bits of character insight into Starfleet, self-contained. And I love that. I like them actually better than last season's, because last season's, they felt too connected. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I don't know if I agree. Yeah.
And so I felt like, it's not a complete story. And each one of these, bam, done. And Rebecca Romijn actually said in one of her things on the interviews, it was Ethan Peck. And it was like, yeah, it's not part of this big, long story. So it's like a first act.
Okay, but then don't make it part of the canon story.
Canon schmanon.
Yes, I know you say that. And for some reason, you'll get away with that. But if I said that, I'd be murdered by the listeners. Because you know that's what they all talk about all the time, right?
Oh, my goodness. It was just fun, enjoyable, meant to make you laugh. But it didn't.
No,
so
it
I
didn't.
Get it.
It definitely did not make me laugh. I sighed a lot. Does that count?
It was interesting, you know, because we on this show have talked about leadership styles and captains. So here we get to see a brand new captain, her first. And I'm just going to give her a D minus.
You're being nice.
Okay, I was.
She was awful.
She was,
and
right?
I wouldn't blame her for the ship and everything else like Starfleet did probably.
No, her interactions.
But yeah, the way she treated him before that was just awful.
It just, she did not have the command style that I would respect.
No,
let's just put it that way.
She didn't have, I've said this before, I can deal with almost anybody as long as I know what rules I'm playing with. So I've dealt with people like her and had to do whatever it is, you know, just to get by the day or whatever. However, she's not the person who could get away with that style with me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really respect the style, like you said. I don't. Just like kind of, she browbeat him into doing what she wanted. It didn't work, by the way, which probably would have been me. I probably would have just went and did my experiment and called it a day because I don't respect you. But there are other people who I've seen browbeat people that you just kind of do what you have to do and get through till the next job, you know? She doesn't have enough clout to do that, though.
Yeah,
you're like a brand new captain. Like it's a union term, but the ink's not even wet on your card yet. They just printed the damn thing that said captain, and you're trying to act like you know everything.
Yeah. Now, again, another point that again, I hope that they intended it to be funny. Oh my gosh, I'm just laughing thinking about it. It was when like, this conversation is over. And it went on for like 5 more minutes. Oh, I was dying. This is over. Well, it's not over if I continue talking. No, they went back and forth. Oh my God. That had to be intended as funny.
No, it was. It definitely had to be. It was clever.
Yes, it was. Because I'm like, no one would dare continue talking to Lorca, Pike, Picard. No.
No, it would be over, the conversation.
You would stand again, up, walk away, say thank you, Captain.
But she doesn't have the clout to pull exactly that kind of maneuver.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm him, I've been on this ship for whatever. Yep. You got here 10 minutes ago,
yep,
and you've already told me to do stargazing when I'm a protein specialist. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind. If you're going to transfer me to another project, it has to be within my wheelhouse at least.
Yeah.
It almost was like she didn't even know what she was doing, period. Like, this was our first day dealing, like if she wasn't a scientist, you know, that's like a foreman coming in my shanty and going, hey, Pat, today, what do you do? Oh, you're doing panels, right? No more. We're done with that. I want you to go outside and I want you to put all the sinks in. Bro, I don't do sinks. Yeah, just go do it.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm going back to panels.
Well, And now we're getting a little more serious than I think the episode was, or the little short trick.
Of course, it's more serious than it was intended to. But again, we have to have something to talk about.
But in a leadership role, and you cannot deny that leaders will assign people to undesirable jobs in order and in hopes that they themselves will remove themselves from the job.
Of course.
Because they want to get rid of them.
Of course. But that's not, I don't respect that as a tactic.
Right. Right.
If you want to get rid of me, fire me. I'm not going anywhere. I need a paycheck.
Sometimes you can't.
Yeah, well then, sucks to be you. You took the job. You got to deal with me now.
Yeah. It's difficult when it happens in the teaching profession.
Maybe. But that person got to a level in order to get that protection. It should have been gotten rid of a long time before that, probably.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, and something I also noticed because I'm dealing with this at my kid's school right now, a lot of them don't have tenure and they're going to get there while doing the things that people are going to try and get rid of them for. So get rid of them now. Don't let them get that deep. And then you don't have to worry about that nonsense.
I wish that could happen easier.
Maybe.
And I know I'm going to get crucified for that for all the teachers because, you know.
Whatever. Probably not.
Stay strong, but.
Probably not because I'm agreeing with you. However, I'm actually not really agreeing with you, but because I'm disagreeing with you, they'll kill me. The problem is that the school systems for a very long time took heavy advantage of just firing people when they got money. And they always blamed it on, well, we're using taxpayer money. So the union stood up and made you, that's it, you can't get rid of me anymore. I understand the concept of it. I understand why it's in place. And most of the good teachers stay good teachers after that. Yeah. Usually you don't find someone who cares about teaching that just goes, my job's safe for life, screw it, don't care. Yeah. Unless something like this has already happened to them 12 or 13 times where they keep getting bounced. Like in New York, you can get bounced from school. Even though you have tenure, it doesn't mean you have a job.
Right.
Because you could just get bounced out of your school, and if they don't, you're an art teacher, maybe you don't find another job. They didn't fire you. They just don't have a position for you, right? Mm-hmm. And you could always keep trying or whatever, but whatever. But if they bounce for 12 schools in 12 years, they get jaded. I see it in my industry too, by the way, because once you're in my union and you got an A card, that's it. You get laid off. You go back to the hiring hall. Eventually, you'll get hired. You'll go back out. And there are guys who know that I'm here 17 weeks. And at the end of 17 weeks, no matter how good of a job I do, I'm getting laid off. So I'm not going to kill myself anymore. Mm-hmm. But typically, the vast majority of good electricians are still good electricians, even though I know I'm getting laid off in 17 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my job because I still got to go home and look at myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, it's happening in my kids' schools right now where there are a bunch of teachers who are not tenured and they're going to get there because their friends or whatever are protecting them, but they're not good teachers now. They're not going to get better when tenure pops up.
No.
And the good teachers that are dealing with this, that are having a hard time with this, I'm not going to name any names, but whatever. I'm not even going to say who they taught, but I know them and I talk to them somewhat regularly. They're getting pushed out, like you said, but they're the ones that should be staying and getting the benefits, and they're getting pushed out, and they have tenure, but they're getting destroyed. So for the teachers who don't have it.
Yeah. And then that comes into money, but yeah.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
None of them are getting paid enough. Not at the school, not here. I can't talk for the rest of the country. I know people have their opinions of that, but none of them get paid enough. And then you have the exact opposite. Because I'm sorry, I know you're a teacher, and it would be great if you could make millions of dollars a year, but teachers don't provide revenues like baseball players do. So it's not going to happen. It's just not, you know, and you see those posts on Facebook all the time, and I guess people feel real good saying it. But the bottom line is, I don't make enough revenue to make you be paid like a baseball player. You know, I just have to come to grips with that because I would love to be paid like a baseball player too. I risk my life more than they do, mm-hmm. but it's an absurd belief that I should actually get that. There's 13,000 of us in New York City alone.
Well, that was a tangent.
A huge one. But again, it goes back to her. I don't think there are leaders who could get away with the way she was treating people and acting and pushing people around and pushing them into positions where they don't want them. But much like the principal at my kid's school, you don't have the clout for that. Mm-hmm. She's the same person as this captain in that I don't respect you enough for you to pull this nonsense. Mm-hmm. So when she started doing it to the teachers that we liked, we started pushing back and going over our head to superintendents, which is exactly what would happen here and kind of what did happen, right? Because they scapegoated her for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, she told him, you don't do it. He walked in the room, made one spray, and called. There's no way she could have stopped that. No way.
Yeah.
But they didn't really like her to begin with.
Yeah. All right. So, anything else?
No, I think I complained enough about that episode. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I was actually more surprised you liked it so much.
I really did. I just thought it was fun. I was laughing. Yeah, it was funny.
Okay. All right. So I guess no final thoughts here. We kind of went over everything pretty well.
Yeah, I think we covered.
Cool. It's been fun talking about these short treks today, but this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
But good discussion. Like, I love, you know, talking about the science. And Joe, I love that you bring it up. Justin.
I need to stop reading it. I'm sorry.
I'm closing, doing close my final thoughts. Close and you're window, all Justin. Laughing over me.
Joe, you need to keep all of this in.
This is an intervention, Justin.
Okay.
Close the window.
Oh my gosh.
Literary Treks.
I talked to Bob Klein, who I had interviewed for Saturday Morning Trek, and he's like, yeah, come on over. Let's go look through my garage and see what we find. I'm like, okay. So I drive over there, and I was greeted to two, you know, those fold-out tables that you have for, like, picnics? Two of those end-to-end with, like, three boxes, larger than file boxes, and, like, moving boxes size, and just papers and folders that all had Filmation on it just brought out.
Standard Orbit.
I bought it when it first came out. I played it for like 2 or 3 days and I went, what is going on? Am I missing something? Is just I'm not a good player. So, and then I checked on the reviews online and everyone agreed that it was not a good game. And we were all correct.
And introducing our newest show, The Line. A Star Trek Picard podcast.
I'm so honored that I was chosen to pick Picard. And as a Next Generation fan, I mean, he was one of my favorite characters. And so I wanted to, and I know how he is extra special to lots of Star Trek fans beyond even just being the character he played on the series. And so I really felt a huge responsibility to try to give the fans something that was enjoyable but and honored who he was, even though it was staying true to the fact that he is 20 years older.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV. Or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and written review.
If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it will come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select the edge. That will come right to me. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. So, Pat, where can people find you when you are not asking a million questions to my annoyance?
Well, when I'm not doing that, you can find me on Twitter.
You're always doing that.
I am. And but otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at MagicDrop5. It's no spaces, and the 5 is a digit. You can also find me over with my good friend Tribbs, or Chris Tribuzio, as people know him here, on Mickey's Marvels on the UFP network. It's every other week we deep dive a different Disney property movie. So it could be live action, could be animation, it could be anything. You never know what we're going to pop up with.
I'm a little behind, but I'm really looking forward to listen to your Wall-E one.
Wall-E one, I think, was our best Wall-E one so far. And we've done two more, but haven't released. We released one of them so far.
Yeah, I'm two behind.
And we recorded another, but still Wall-E is our best, I think.
Awesome.
And I really love that movie. Where else can you find me? Well, you can find me maybe for one or two more episodes, or maybe not, depending on when this releases, on Warp 5 with Brandon. But that's coming to an end for us, so who knows. And I guess that's about it. I pop up in the Babel Conference from time to time. But really, that's it. Yeah. So, Amy, where can people find you when you're not mass-producing scallops that take over the universe?
Man, I need to do that. Well, you can find me here on the network, where I am co-hosting Earl Grey with my good friends Justin and Joe. You can find me on Twitter, at Miss Amy Nelson, and you can find me right there in the Babel Conference.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. Available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We'd like to thank our reproducing tribbles. They are our associate producers, Norman Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Pop, Lisa Slack, Pop, Shoab Mirza. See what I'm doing there? Richard Rutledge.
Self-replicating breakfast.
James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mallett, Chris Tribuzio, and Brian Malosh. Pop, thanks for supporting Trek FM and especially The Edge.
So that breakfast wouldn't work because they'd actually outgrow the box too quickly. But we're not going to mention that, right?
No, that was hilarious. And I'm like, she's going to keep on pouring and then
her whole house is going to fill up. But it didn't. They kept going in the bowl and then that was it. It was very weird.
I know, it was cute.
It was a bowl that ate them themselves. So thank you for listening and join us next time to see what's happening on the edge of Federation space.